I would like for you to take the Bible and open it to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Now, I'm going to speak today on this subject, the great contradiction. The great contradiction. Isaiah wrote in chapter 55, beginning with verse 6. Now, listen carefully to the words of God's prophet. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and God will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Now, my friends, it doesn't take a lot of wisdom to understand that what's going on today in the name of religion and in the name of God is contrary to the Scriptures. It is certainly true in our day that our ways are not God's ways. And what is going on today in the name of religion and in the name of God is contrary not only to the Scriptures, but contrary to the very character of God Almighty himself. And it doesn't require much study or knowledge to see that the emotionalism of this day and the entertainment and the extravagant living and the showmanship in religion I'm talking about is nothing but flesh and totally contrary to the ways of God and the ways of his people. My thoughts, he said, are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And it's time, and it's long overdue, for someone to speak plainly as he can, and forcefully concerning the direction that religion today is taking, especially on television. And I hear people say, well, it's okay. It's okay for people to do whatever they want to do. It is not okay. I've heard others say, well, we can't judge. No, but God's Word judges men. And we judge the ministry of men by the Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you some things about God's true preachers, God's true prophets in this day or any day. God hasn't changed. His Word hasn't changed. His ways haven't changed. His preachers haven't changed. And I tell you this, and I'm going to talk as plainly today as I know how to talk. God's true preachers and God's prophets are not con artists. And they're not money raisers. And they're not politicians. And they're not entertainers. They're not wealthy men who live in mansions and fine homes and wear diamonds and own condominiums and live luxuriously. Not God's preachers. God's preachers are plain men. They're men who are called of God to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And they're plain men who are separated unto the gospel of God. That is their calling. That is their objective. That is their goal, to make Christ known. They are determined, as Paul said to those people at the great city, in the great city of Corinth, I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. God's preachers are not wealthy men who live luxuriously. They're men who live by the gospel. And they live in a simple fashion like their master, identified with plain people. And like the Levites of old, now you want to go back to the Scriptures, and you read about the Levites of old who had the care of the temple, the care of the tabernacle, and the care of the ministry of the Word, and the care of the sacrifices, and these Levites of old, who are our examples, did not own property. They did not own or promote businesses, and God's preachers today, His true preachers, do not own property, and they do not own or promote businesses. And what does come into their hands, financially, materially, they use it to care for the poor and the needy and the less fortunate. They're like conduits. They receive with this hand and they give out with the other. They live by the gospel. And their sole and only business is the master's business. Our Lord said, I must be about my Father's business. And that's preaching the Word of God. And so I boldly declare unto you, according to God's ways and God's Word, wealthy preachers, extravagant, luxuriously living preachers, are not God's preachers. God's preachers are plain men with a plain message. And then I'll tell you this. Now you listen to me. God said, your ways aren't my ways. There's a way that seemeth right to men, and the end is destruction and death. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God's preachers are plain men, but they're men who preach in power, the power of the Holy Ghost. And God's preachers are men, not women. It's quite clear, my friend, in the Scriptures that women are not to preach. They're not to pastor. And according to God's Word, they're not to usurp authority over men. And I realize that it seems to me that women are taking over in this realm of religion today. Women have a very important part in the church, in the ministry, in the kingdom of God. A part which cannot be taken by anyone else, and they cannot be replaced. Teaching women, teaching other women, teaching children, building a home, keeping a home, raising their children. But according to God's Word, His preachers are men, and always have been and always will be. And women are not to pastor churches. They're not to teach men or usurp authority over men or run the business of the church or pastor the church. Paul plainly says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches. It is not permitted for them to teach, to preach. They are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the Word of God, the law. The Old Testament Scriptures. Goes back to the fall when God said to Eve, your husband will have the rule over you. Christ is the head of the man, the man's the head of the woman. 1 Timothy 2, verse 11, Paul said again, let your women learn in silence, with all subjections. I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority, but to be in silence. And women taking over programs and pulpits and classrooms and leading the churches, serving on pulpit committees and conducting the business of the church is not God's way. It's our way. And He said, your ways are not my ways. And God's preachers are not only plain men, and they're men. But I'll tell you this. God's preachers do not beg. Our Lord's not a beggar, and His ambassadors are not beggars. And God's preachers do not beg for money to support their ministry or the kingdom of God. They will not do it. They cannot do it. They live and preach by faith, not by the strength of the flesh. It's not faith to constantly tell men our needs. Faith tells God our needs, and God supplies those needs. In fact, He said, your Heavenly Father knows what you have need of. Faith does not conduct telethons to raise money for our programs and our organizations, pleading, begging, badgering, coercing, threatening, rewarding, using telephones for people to call and promise to send so much money. Faith doesn't do that. That's our way, not God's way. Faith does not give away charms and trinkets and gimmicks and books to raise money. Faith does not threaten people with going off the air. How utterly ridiculous it is to even think that a man of faith would stand before a congregation and say, if you don't do something, I'm going off the air. God's still in control. God's still on the throne. And I'll go off the air when it pleases God, not when it pleases a man. And faith doesn't beg. And I tell you this, faith doesn't threaten. Never threatens God's people. Faith doesn't threaten people with the death of the preacher. That's the most foolish thing that I've ever heard in my life. To use as a gimmick to raise money the threat of God upon the life of a preacher. Faith does not promise a man a prosperity if he'll support the preacher. Faith does not sell land and investments and cards and bricks. And these are men's ways. These are not God's ways. And someone must speak out against it. Someone must stand up and be counted. Someone must warn this generation of all the trickery and the flesh merchandising that's going on today in the name of God, that God has nothing to do with these things. Faith doesn't organize clubs for people to buy into. 300 club, 700 club, or 1100 club. Don't you see that these are rackets to raise money? Don't you see that men sit around in groups and boards and organizations trying to figure out a new gimmick? A new way to get money, a new way to raise money, a new offer. They run out of this offer and think of another one. They run out of that one and think of another. God's people give. And God's people support the church. And God's people support missionaries. And God's people support true ministers. And God's people will support the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they give not out of being threatened or promised a reward, or badgered or coerced to give. They give willingly, willingly. Giving is a grace. Giving is an act of love. And God's people are to be left to give as they're led and impressed by the Holy Spirit, not coerced by a man. You say, well, how will people know my need? God knows my need. God's my Heavenly Father. And God, knowing the need of His people and the need of His church and the need of His preacher, has promised to supply that need. Paul said, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. And true faith from the heart of a true preacher waits on God. Waits on God. And then God's true preacher knows that salvation is of the Lord. That's right. Salvation is a work of grace in the heart, accomplished by the Holy Spirit. My friends, coming to the front of the church is not salvation. That's our way, not God's way. Our way is to make coming to the front, making a physical move, to be synonymous with receiving Christ. And it's not. Reformation is not salvation. Raising my hand. We've gone a long ways towards raising the hand, raising the hand. Every head bowed and every eye closed and every hand raised. Raising the hand is not salvation. God looks on the heart, not on the raising of the hand or the outward countenance. Saying a prayer dictated by some man is not salvation. Making a decision in a revival meeting is not salvation. You don't decide to come in, decide to go out. Joining the church is not salvation. Listen to me. And God's preachers know this, true preachers. People who are saved are born of God. They're not manipulated by psychology. They're born of God. They're not manipulated by mass emotionalism. They're born of God. They're not tricked into a decision. They're born of God deliberately and willingly and lovingly and individually. Not only born of God, but they're born of the Word of God. Of His own will begat He us with the Word of truth. God's people are saved by the Spirit of God. They're brought by the Spirit of God through the Word of God to know God in their hearts and to know Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And true salvation is a new creation in Christ Jesus which only God can accomplish. And that's what I do on this program every Lord's Day, and in the pulpit, and through the books that I write. I preach to men. Preach the gospel to them. I pray to God to make it effectual to the heart by the power of the Spirit, and then leave men alone. Lead them with God. Wait upon God to bring them to faith. Lead them to God in His Word and wait on Him to bring them to receive Christ personally, individually. You know, all of these so-called altar calls today and processionals to the front of the church, down the big crowd going down to the front, that's the invention of modern man. It is unknown in the Word of God. It is unknown in the ministry of the apostles. It is unknown in the early revivals and unknown by any prophet of old. You say, well, how do people confess Christ? The scriptural way, baptism. Go through the New Testament, even at Pentecost. Those people weren't invited to raise their hands or come to the front or say the sinner's prayer. They cried the sinner's prayer. They said, men and brethren, what are we going to do? We're in a mess. And Peter said, repent. And what? And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. All the way through the New Testament, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Philippian jailer, Lydia, Cornelius, keep naming them. All of these people, they didn't raise their hand, they didn't go to the front, they didn't sign a card, they didn't go to an inquiry room. They were followed the Lord in believers' baptism. They confessed Christ. Our altar calls today, and all of these running to the front of the church and to make first-time decisions, is to build the statistics of the preacher and to give him fame and to promote his program and give him some converts to report so that he can get the next meeting. Only God can save a sinner. And only God's preacher is willing to leave it up to God to save that sinner. And he'll do it. Eternal life's to know God. It's not to know religious facts. Eternal life is to be born of God, not to make a decision. Eternal life is to come to Christ, all the way to Christ, personally, by faith, not to come to the front of the church. You can come to the front of the church without coming to Christ, and most people do. Eternal life is a heart work that never dies. It's not just a profession of the lips. Our Lord said, these people call me Lord, Lord, with their lips, and their hearts are far from me. Their hearts never left covetousness, never left flesh, and never left the world. They just took Jesus to be another God on their shelves. Eternal life is a living union with the Son of God, not a union with the church. It's a membership in the family of God and not a membership in an organization. And I tell you this, as long as men can come to the preacher and save their consciences and receive some kind of comfort, they're not going to come to Christ. As long as we're standing out there in their way, and inviting them to the front, inviting them to us, and inviting them to shake our hands, inviting them to make their decision, they'll come to us, and they'll come to our organizations, and they'll come to our altars, and they'll respond to our invitations, but they're not coming to Christ. You've got to move out of the way for them to come to Christ. Our Lord said, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte to your religion, and after you've made him, he's twofold more the child of hell than you are. And all of this emotionalism and human persuasion simply denies the power of God. It denies the power of God. All of this persuasion and pulling and bringing people to the front denies the power of God to find his sheep, to awaken his sheep, to call his sheep, and to save his sheep by his grace. God is perfectly able to find his people and make the word effectual to their hearts. That's what our Lord accused the religious people during the day he ministered on this earth. He said, you err, not knowing the scriptures. That's the biggest problem. And you don't know the power of God. I'm willing to leave a sinner with God. I'm willing to give him the word. And I don't mean strike while the iron's hot. If it's God's iron, it'll stay hot till he responds. God will brand him. If it's God's Spirit calling, he'll come. If it's God Almighty who's working in his soul, he'll be brought. I don't have to rush, drag him to the front, talk him into a false profession, and pick an apple before it's ripe. And I'll tell you this, God's true preacher is bold to declare the Word of God and the true gospel, even if he stands alone. even if he stands alone. That's where Luther stood that day at the Diet of Worms. The whole nation, the whole religious empire, the whole ecclesiastical empire against him. His life threatened. He told them what he believed. And he said, "Here I stand. I can do no other." The Apostle Paul declared, "If I please men, I'm not the servant of Christ." Are you listening? Elijah dared to stand alone that day on Mount Carmel against 450 false prophets. And I'm afraid the way things are going today, the proportion is about the same. God's preacher is not a servant of the denomination. God's preacher is not a servant of the board of deacons. God's preacher is not intimidated by a board or by members of the church. God's preacher is not afraid of losing his job, his home, or his salary. He's an ambassador and servant of God Almighty, and no man can touch him. God's preacher will preach the word, whatever the consequences. He's not a peacemaker, he's a prophet. He's not a moderator, he's a messenger. He's not a clown either. And most preachers today are clowns. Entertainers, playboys, and clowns. And they're not serious about this business. And they're not committed. Not committed. God didn't send his preacher into this world to marry people or to perform at the club or roam the halls of the hospital. He sent him to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you listening? "Your ways aren't my ways," God says. "You've changed my ways and tried to conform them to your ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts." What did the early apostles say when they called for the first deacons? Why did they ordain these men? Why did they select these men? Why did they need these men? They came to this conclusion. "We want these men to put over this business of taking care of the widows and the distribution of food and all these things. But we'll give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." What I see for my day, I see no change. I see it getting worse. Not better, but worse. I see them inventing new ways to violate God's word, new ways to raise money. The end justifies the means. But perhaps God will raise up one here and one there that will dare speak for God. And I'll tell you this in closing. God's preacher knows the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It says in the book of John, our Lord said, "He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me. Or he shall receive of mine and show it to you." The Holy Spirit finds God's glory in Jesus Christ. And Christ's glory in Christ himself. My friends, the Holy Spirit does not reach after something novel and something new and something different and something spectacular. That seems to be the order of the day in religion. Something spectacular, some crescendo, some music, using music to sway the minds of people. But the Holy Spirit doesn't need these things to glorify Christ or to preach Christ. He doesn't need strange tongues that men can't understand. He doesn't need fleshly emotion and bodily healings and creature fame. We need to get us a football player to appear on the platform next Sunday with a preacher. Somebody will come hear the preacher. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of. What does the Holy Ghost need with a football player? He doesn't need some man of great power, wealth, and influence in order to bring sinners to know Christ or to bring glory to Christ. He finds Christ's glory in Christ himself. If we want to honor Christ, if we want to glorify Jesus Christ, if we want to preach Christ, we must not look for something outside of Christ. We must not look for something in us. We must honor him by preaching that which is already his. His deity, his person, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his intercession, his glorious blessed return. Strange as it may seem, There is today very little preaching of Jesus Christ himself. The average person in the average church knows nothing about Jesus Christ. Practically nothing. Oh, he knows all about his denomination. He knows all about his pastor. He knows all about the famous people of today, but he doesn't know Christ. People today preach about those who knew Christ, and they preach about those who served Christ, and they preach about those who wrote of Christ, St. Matthew, St. Jude, St. Mark, St. this, that, and the other. They preach about his church, about his doctrines, about his commandments, about his return. They preach series of messages on those who used to preach Christ. They conduct conversations about those who profess to know Christ, and they have these sharing sessions. And then they talk about the duties and responsibilities of believers in Christ, but very few messages on the person and work of Christ himself. That's what I'm saying. My friends, people today need to return to preaching Christ. Jesus Christ is most glorified. His sheep are most edified. His will and purpose are most accomplished, and his church perfected in faith, hope, and love when we preach Christ himself. The work of the Spirit of God is not to give us games to play. The work of the Spirit of God is not to call attention to himself or even to the instrument. The work of the Spirit of God is to reveal the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those beauties and glories are all found in him. The hymn writer put it this way: O Christ, our hope, our heart's desire, redemption's only spring, creator of the world art thou, my Savior and my King.